So, welcome from Berlin. My name is Christian Binder. I'm the track program manager for the development track. And right on my right hand side, I have Brian Keller. Brian, hello.
Guten Tag.
Cool.
I'm learning German.
Okay, we'll continue in German. Oh,
sure. Yeah, right.
Okay. Brian is actually my buddy in the US, right?
That's right.
So, what were you doing?
So I have the coolest job in the world. Just you have the second coolest, but I get to work directly with the product team back in Redmond, building Visual Studio 2010 and our application lifecycle management tools.
Cool.
So I work with a lot of your customers and a lot of customers from around the world to help them adopt the product early.
Yeah.
Take what they're saying, drive that feedback into the product,
right,
and then take their adoption stories and tell other customers how they can also benefit in the same way.
Yeah, cool. And you've been here for what? In TechEd Berlin?
Yeah, so I've been here at TechEd Berlin presenting a few sessions about our testing strategy for Visual Studio.
Huge invest for us, right?
I'm sorry?
A huge invest for us?
Huge.
The testing, so we have completely new areas.
Yeah, it's totally new. It's really the first time that Microsoft has ever addressed specifically what we call the generalist tester.
Yeah.
So the kind of the manual tester. And if you look at an organization, about 70% of testing today is still manual testing.
Yeah.
So, you know, the industry has done a remarkable job of serving kind of the developer who's writing unit tests and specialized load tests and all these automated tests.
Yeah.
But for a long time, the manual tester has been living in the Stone Age, really.
Really,
I mean, they use Excel spreadsheets and Word documents to run through their tests.
So even in 2008, we had that manual test.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you remember?
Exactly.
So
I do.
Work. It was just a Word document, right?
Yeah, that's all it was.
You go through and you say, okay, I'm doing that, and then I say, okay.
Yep.
So even more, we have done something in efficiency for these guys, right? So accelerate that job doing UI testing, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So we want to make the manual tester more productive. Mm-hmm. But why should developers care, right? Because developers, TechEd is a developer conference.
Yeah.
So part of my job is to show why you want your manual testers using Visual Studio's set of tools.
Yeah.
And one of the key reasons really comes down to the fact that when a developer gets a bug from a tester today, you're lucky to get a one-line description that says what the bug is, let alone any repro steps or what system information the developer or the tester was running on.
Yeah.
And with 2010, we have this great architecture that I can maybe show you in a minute that allows all of your test runs to automatically pick up data about what's being tested.
Yeah.
And automatically give the developer system information. What service pack level was the machine on? What build are you testing on?
Having a video, right?
Having a video showing
exactly
what the tester was running through.
So it's all about not ping-pong the bug between test and dev all the way down.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Saving time.
Saving time between the developer and tester and making sure that when the developer gets the bug, they have a really good chance of reproducing the bug or being able to see exactly how that bug materialized.
Okay. So I think we should look a bit at the normal workflows we have between dev and test.
Sure.
So we jump in?
Yeah, let's dive right in.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep. So now we are here and we will have a look at whatever the complete architecture looks like. A bunch of stuff really goes into that, and we need to understand how what plays together and how, right?
So. Right, that's right. So in order to enable some of those benefits we were talking about earlier, to number one, help the tester be more productive, but number two, help take what the tester is doing and feed that into the developer to help them fix those bugs, which really, at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do. It's no point finding a bug if we can't actually fix it.
Right.
We have this architecture within Team System 2010. And so the idea is that, first of all, you will need to be using Team Foundation Server for everything.
Right.
Now, I know that not everyone's using Team Foundation Server. If you're a little bit worried about this, take a look at what we've done in 2010.
Yeah.
It's much easier to set up.
Yeah.
If you have an MSDN subscription, you actually get free access to Team Foundation Server 2010.
Right. Yeah.
And so we're really trying to make it friction-free so that even a 2-3-person team can use Team Foundation Server. So once you get that set up, there are a few other things that you may need to set up depending on what pieces of the testing functionality you want to use.
Okay, good.
One of those is team build. And so Team Build is what allows you to automatically build all of your source control. It links together all the different artifacts of your project, like your work items. Take advantage of what's called test impact analysis we'll talk about.
And then a key feature when it comes for environments later on also, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So you can even automate the deployment of your source code down to either a physical or a virtual environment.
Right,
and then automatically run all of your tests as well. And so if you want to take advantage of that, then you also have to use what's called the test controller. And so the test controller is what helps all of your test agents run their tests and report that information back to Team Foundation server. Another thing to point out is that these can all actually run on the same physical machine if you want to. And then finally down here, we also have just the point that you can, like I said, run in a virtual environment or a physical environment.
Right.
If you want to take advantage of a virtual environment, we have a great new feature in 2010 called Lab Management, which can automatically spin up the VMs, help you snapshot those VMs. Here's a really cool scenario. Let's say I'm a tester and I find a bug. I can not only send you the information about the bug, but I can send you a pointer to the virtual machine where I found it. And when you get ready to fix it, you just connect to that virtual machine.
So as it's an asynchronous process, so you file a bug as a tester, and normally dev looks not in the same day on the bug. And then you can later on connect to that environment that tester has been able to reproduce the bug.
Exactly, because a common problem today is by the time the developer picks up the bug, that test machine's no longer available. And so with virtual environments, you just save it off to the hard drive, and when that developer is ready, they inflate it, and they're good to go.
Cool.
So it's really cool. So that's the test architecture.
Right.
Now let's talk about the life of a tester.
Right.
Some of the things that a tester goes through.
Right.
So there's some basic setup work. This is an hour presentation normally, so I'm not going to go into everything in detail.
Right.
But to start with, you define a test plan.
Right.
When you define a test plan, that basically defines what you're going to be testing for a given iteration.
Right.
So normally you would go talk to the development team and say, what are you building? Okay, we'll put together a test plan that actually tests that, right? So we have a new tool called Microsoft Test and Lab Manager, which is what testers use.
So this has nothing to do with what we would have before with the test lists, right?
It's correct,
So just to make sure it's really new, it's a standalone interface.
It is. But, we didn't want to go to a test team and say, okay, now you have to learn Visual Studio.
Right.
I mean, let's face it, it's a great tool for developers, but unless you've spent the time to learn Visual Studio, it's going to overwhelm your average tester.
Right.
So we have a new tool that was built from the ground up specifically for test teams.
Okay, cool.
And they can use that to define their test plans, to author their tests, to run their tests, to report bugs. Everything a tester does can be done within this tool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So even more a part of the task plan is really to have a test configuration if you what target you are going to aim for, right?
And yeah,
it's important.
That's right. So you can have your test configurations which say we're going to test everything we do on Windows Vista and Windows 7.
Right.
And so we support those test matrices. Another thing that the support plan enables is what's called test settings.
Right.
And so test settings define what data we're going to collect while the tests are being executed.
Right.
And this is extremely powerful. I mean, you can get very basic information like the system information and the event log. All that can be attached to the bug.
Right.
But you can also write your own data, what are called data diagnostic adapters.
Okay.
And so that attaches itself to the tests as they run.
The important thing is it's an extendable model.
It is
so
fully
you
extensible.
Can, yeah, you can build your own data collectors.
Yes, you can. And then there's also this really cool thing called IntelliTrace.
Oh, yes.
That's one of my favorite features. In fact, it's so important that we got a trademark for it.
Right.
So IntelliTrace can run while your tests are being executed.
Yeah.
And then when I file a bug to you, let's say you're a developer and I find a bug and I file that bug, not only can you get the system information, the event log, the action log, everything that I clicked on as a tester, but you can now see basically an entire debug file that allows you to rewind and see at any given point what was a variable at this point in time. You know, when did a file get read from or written to? When did a
exceptions
all of that
showing
stuff.
Up? Right.
It's amazing.
So it's basically a playback. You can move back in time.
Yes,
you see what happened.
Yeah.
So for all the people automatically you step in and use a post-mortem dump of a problem, right?
Exactly.
In the past, right? Which is, they have just a limited view of what's happening before.
Right.
We have now a much better way going back. It's all about efficiency and finding bugs and allocating the right positions.
Exactly. Right. And so that can be used from within Visual Studio when you just press F5 and you're debugging an application.
Right. Yeah.
But it can also come from all these test runs as well.
Right.
So it's an amazingly powerful feature. One of my favorite features. So that's test settings. And then once you set up kind of your overall test plan and what you're going to be working on, then it comes time to actually author and organize your test cases.
Right.
So this is where you write, you know, the tester should open this application, they should click this button, they should type this.
Yeah.
And we support the ability to easily parameterize this.
Right.
So you might want to test with one set of values for the first time, another set of values. We also support what are called shared steps.
Shared steps, exactly, to have modules.
You can
build together scenarios.
That's right. Yeah. So let's say.
But go a step further. The steps will be where do we write them down? So is it work items, right?
Yeah. So test cases are stored as work items within Team Foundation.
So you don't have another repository anymore. It's
everything's
in TFS and the main repository.
Yep. Yeah, and what's really great about that is we now support hierarchical work items within Team Foundation Server.
This is cool.
So by making your test cases work items, that means that they then link back to your requirements and all the other work that you have within TFS, so that when you run your reports, let me show you a report. When you run your reports, you can start to get reports that look like this that then show you trends over time to say, okay, here's the way my test plan is progressing.
Yeah, yeah.
Or another example is...
This is a good one. User story test.
Exactly.
So this is the one really which shows up that if we are linking stories to test cases, or other way we're linking test cases to stories,
exactly.
This is the way we get automatically reports with which user story is tested and how it's tested, how they're progressing.
Right,
exactly this information.
So if I'm in marketing, right, and I don't understand everything that the development team's working on, I can just look in one place and say, how is that feature coming along?
Yeah.
And I can see that for this feature, all of my tests are passing, and for this other one, some of my tests are blocked. They're actually having problems. It just gets everybody on the same page, allows us to have a common dialogue about how things are coming along.
Right, this is cool.
Yeah.
And we don't have to have some manual linking anymore or something like that.
That's right. Yeah. So as you write your test cases, that automatically gets linked back to your requirements, and it's just a very natural flow.
When we come to the execution of the tests for the manual test runner, So how does it look like?
Yeah, so we have a new tool called the Microsoft Test Runner. And so when you use the Microsoft Test Runner, it basically opens up, and it gives the tester a list of all their tests, or all the test steps that they need to execute.
Right. And these are pulling them out automatically from the work item, right?
Correct. So it then passes that into the work item.
Right.
If you have parameterized test steps, it automatically populates that. And we can also create, as you're seeing here, what's called an action report.
Oh, cool.
So the first time I run a test, I can I can record my actions. Everything I do, I type into this field, I click this button, so on and so forth. I open this web page.
Yeah.
After you've recorded that, you can then use that to play back later on.
Oh, that's cool.
And take advantage of what's called fast forward for manual testing.
Oh, and this means actually, imagine you have 23 steps, and you have to fill out a couple of form fields, right? Every time you run through that.
Very boring.
Imagine,
Yeah,
this is hard. And if you have to do that test each and every day with each and every build, your motivation may...
Oh yeah.
Come down after.
Yeah, exactly. And you're likely to make mistakes and so on and
so
forth. And so we want to give the testers the ability to focus on really the fun part of their job, which is finding bugs.
Yeah.
And so what you'll see here is that I'm recording my actions through the test case runner the first time. And then after I get done with this, I can then play those back.
Yeah.
And it just automatically takes over. Everything that you do happens via the tool.
Right.
You can even say, I want to play back the first 15 steps because the last 8 steps, I need to do something special for this particular test run.
Yeah.
And our goal for the product is to be able to play back your test actions about 10 to 20 times faster than the fastest human could actually type into the dialogue. So it's making your testers more productive, and it's allowing them once again to focus on the real part of their job, which is finding bugs. And so now what you'll see here is I just completed the first iteration, and then when we run through this again, we're going to play back those actions, and it will automatically run through the application.
Cool.
That's right.
So
we select the actions, we click play,
and that's it, right?
And that's it. It's going to then take over.
It makes really the manual tester more efficient,
right?
And more motivated.
Exactly.
and another thing is that this is a basic information we're gathering here. We can reuse then later in the game.
That's right.
For automation, right?
That's right. So we can then take the action recordings we've created here, and we can create fully automated what are called coded UI tests.
Yeah.
Which is
a type of unit test, right?
It's a type of unit test. And basically what that does is it allows you to take a full automation test and link that up to a build definition, for example. So when I come in the morning, I not only have my build deployed, but I've also already run through these automated coded UI tests, and I know if I've regressed functionality, if something's broken.
Right.
So normally the way the most test life cycles work is up front you'll do most of your testing manual, and then as the application starts to solidify and the functionality becomes
more stable,
then you want to turn that into a fully automated test. You don't want to spend manual testing cycles on this anymore.
Right.
But if you check in code which breaks a feature which was working, that's what those regression tests are for.
So the automation, to get to the point where you get to automation, it depends on where you are in your life cycle, how many changes you expect on the UI to happen.
Exactly. And every project's going to be different.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So this is cool.
Yeah.
So let us look at, so this is execution.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about picking new builds.
Oh, that's cool. So this is a pretty common thing. So the development team builds a new build.
That's right.
Builds a new build. The team builds a new build, and we decide to. It's a stabilized one, and we decide to test this build because it's worth doing it.
Yeah, this is a common problem, right? I mean, the development team is probably building a build at least once every day.
Yeah.
And the test team, they can't restart their testing efforts every single day or they would never finish.
Yeah.
So they have to look at each build and say, is this worth my tester's time to pick that new build? And so we're doing a number of things to help them decide whether or not those builds are worth picking up.
Right.
One of those is that we actually help you roll up all the information that was checked into that build. So I can look at a build and say, okay, it looks like Christian fixed this one bug.
Right.
Well, that may or may not be worth me having my entire team focus on that on that new build.
Right.
But 2 days later, we now have another build where there's three more bugs that are fixed, two requirements that are finished, and then something else that's actually checked in.
So
that's worth picking up.
It's all about where you invest your time of your testing at the right build.
Exactly.
Right? To make sure.
And the tool helps you make those decisions.
Yeah, let's look at this.
Yeah. So
test impact.
Yeah, so test impact is another thing. So test impact analysis is another really cool feature that basically, while you're running your tests, they could be unit tests, they could be manual tests, they could be web tests, doesn't matter.
Right.
While you're running your tests, we can actually analyze which methods are executed within your application.
Right.
Now, this only works for .NET code, so it's not going to work for C++ or for web applications that don't use .NET code, for example.
Right.
But for your .NET code, we can study which methods get run so that if a developer goes back later on and makes a change to a method, and the last time I ran a test, it actually executed that method, we can then flag that test for you and say, you might want to rerun this test.
Oh, okay, good. So if we have a collection of 20 tests, manual tests, so we can basically tell people, based on the change, code change happening within the check-ins, we recommend you to just choose the first three.
Right, and in reality, I mean, most testers I talk to, they don't have just 20 tests, they have 500 tests, And you can't, even if you spent the entire week running tests, there's no way you could run all those tests. So test impact analysis helps you focus your energy on the most important tests.
Right. Cool.
And, it's not going to tell you everything that may have broken, but it gives you kind of a sense for where the changes happen.
Where the invest should run.
Exactly. Right. And then finally, the other thing we allow you to do is actually determine, which bugs have been fixed. So if you mark bugs as being fixed, now I get a nice list that says, hey, these are all the bugs that I need to go revalidate and make sure that the development team actually fixed these correctly.
Right.
And so we have a nice dialogue to help you do that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So let's go back. I think we should jump over to the developer.
Okay.
At this point, let's look some We have already talked about how to promote that we can promote manual tests up to a coded UI test.
Correct.
So we have done that. So, but Okay, good. So this is still a manual act. So is this automated what we get from the manual test, the recording?
Correct.
But I have to set as a developer
the verification. Yes.
Yeah.
And so we give you a nice tool to help you do that. So
right.
You can validate, you know, for example, that a particular text box
right.
says that your order is complete and that the value for the subtotal is correct.
Right.
And you can add all sorts of validation logic, and we make it really easy for you to do that.
Yeah.
So that's the process of creating coded UI tests. Yeah. Another way that the development team, of course, plays in this overall process is they may get a bug from a tester.
Right.
And, you know, we talked about the challenge with trying to figure out exactly how do I reproduce a bug.
Yeah.
Let me show you what it looks like when you get a bug in 2010.
Yeah.
So I'm a developer. I open up my form that shows me the bug. And right away, you'll start to notice that there's really rich data here. And so if we look down at the bottom, you'll see that we have these test steps. And so I can see right away exactly which test steps passed or failed.
Right.
And so I can see here that after I clicked on update, the UI should warn the user that there's an invalid update
right.
and not allow the change to be applied. But that's not actually happening here.
Right.
You'll notice on the right-hand side we have videos.
Right.
So I can actually jump at any point in time and see exactly what the tester was seeing. So here we can
yeah.
jump straight into the application, and we can take a look at the video. So now you're seeing exactly what the tester saw.
Right.
And
right.
so you don't have to go back and forth with
right.
the tester and say, are you sure you clicked on the right button? That happens all the
yeah.
time, right?
Yeah, I can imagine how the emails in the old world,
yep.
email exchange between testers and developers could end up multiple iterations.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Especially
sure about that is.
And especially you have to think about a lot of organizations have
yeah.
Outsourced testing teams on the other
right.
side of the world.
Right.
So
yeah.
it may take you an entire week to figure out exactly what's going on when you're going back and forth like
right.
this. We can attach a screenshot.
Right.
Let me just fast forward a little bit here and show you IntelliTrace and show you what that looks like.
Right. So, okay. So a lot of data is being collected during the manual tests.
That's right.
It allows us really to make the process of communication between development and tests much more efficient
That's
and
right.
save time.
So here you see system information.
Which build it's found in.
Which build,
yeah.
which test case this is linked to.
Exactly.
I'm just trying to find where the IntelliTrace log is.
So
here.
You see everything is live here.
Exactly. Yes. So here's the IntelliTrace log.
Cool.
And what you can see are all the processes that
right.
are running. This is an ASP.NET application.
Right.
So you see all the IIS threads that are being
right.
taken place.
Right.
We can open up and see which modules are currently loaded. So maybe
right.
we want to verify that we have the right version of a module loaded.
Right.
That's good to know. And then here we can double click on this exception and go straight into the line of code
right.
where this exception was thrown. But what's more than that is we
yeah.
can actually rewind and go back in time and see what it looked like before we got to this exception.
Cool.
So if we go back, we can actually see that here we called into this method and the value of this variable was set to -5.
This is cool.
So yeah, it's really easy to see this. You can track all sorts of events. You can even write your own custom event handlers
yeah.
that feed into IntelliTrace. It's really powerful.
Even you can select by the information to be... So you can wind back, but you have all the events being traced
That's right.
over the from the starting to the end.
That's right.
So you see, for example, if any resources we have not been able to access any resources, registry keys, files, or something like that.
Absolutely.
Which has been handled internally with exception handlers.
Yeah. So you may have part of your application that's swallowing an exception.
Right. Yeah.
And you don't realize that that's actually having a detrimental effect later
yeah.
on. So now you can go back in time and see that exception being
right.
swallowed and ultimately fix the bug.
Right. So it's all about making the process of finding the right breakpoint maybe or
exactly.
the right code line more efficient for
exactly
the
exactly
okay this cool yeah. enhancements
yeah.
cool enhancements
yeah. And I also want to mention that everything that I'm showing here is all based on Beta 2.
Yeah.
So there's no special magic happening
no.
here. You can go download Beta 2 today.
And try it
You
yourself.
Can install it, and you can try all this stuff yourself. You can tell us what you think about it.
Right.
In fact, if you go to tinyurl.com/install-beta-2,
yeah, okay.
then that's a video I put together
cool.
which shows
yeah.
you where to get all these bits
yeah.
and
Repeat
set
it.
Up everything.
Repeat it again.
That's tinyurl.com/install-beta-2.
Cool. Finally, one look at lab management.
Yeah, let's show lab
so
management.
So this as a close-up on that. Because this is pretty important, I think, for people who are struggling getting setting up their test environments anymore.
Exactly.
We already mentioned that we have something like that. So let's look at how things are putting together with templates and how we get to the virtual, it's
right.
just a normal workflow. How
right. So the first step is you create what are called gold images.
Yeah.
And gold images, if you're familiar with sysprepping, sysprepping basically takes a copy of Windows and it stores it so that you can then set it up later on and
right.
supply your own parameters. What's the machine name? How much RAM should it have?
Right.
What's the product key? Things like that.
Right.
So the first step is to create what's called a VM template library.
Right.
And you take all of your sysprepped images and store them in there.
Okay.
So once you've done that, you can then create what are called environments. And an environment might be one or more machines. So maybe I have a web server and a database server. And those start from those sysprepped images. So I'm going to point at those sysprepped images. I'm going to say, give me one that has this machine name, one that has this machine name, and maybe make sure that it has SQL Server installed and it's joined to these domains, so
right.
on and so forth, right?
Yeah.
Once I get my environment up and running, then it's just a matter of configuring a team build workflow.
Okay.
And so what I can do is I can, for example, every night build my software,
right.
take a copy of that running environment,
test that too.
Deploy all my software down
yeah.
to that running environment,
yeah.
run any scripts that I need, so like set up this database.
Unattended installations.
Exactly, exactly.
Things, yeah.
Once you've done that, then you can create a snapshot,
right.
which is basically all the software installed before we've run any
yeah.
tests.
Right.
And then from there, you can start running your automated tests. So those coded UI tests I talked about earlier.
Yeah. For automated tests.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then once you've got all this set up, you can come in the morning and your test team can see, okay, 90 out of 100
yeah.
automated tests
yeah.
ran. These 10 tests, we need to go evaluate these, maybe file some bugs.
Right.
And they can even start running their manual tests against there as well.
Right.
So if I have manual tests that I need to run against Vista, Windows 7, and Windows Server,
right.
I can spin up 3 virtual environments to take
right.
care of that, and I've got everything I need to start
so,
my test for
so
that day.
I have at the beginning, I have a bit of base investment to build the gold images.
That's
for
correct.
For the scenarios I would like to target
mm-hmm.
my testing. And just to say that there is a link back to the test settings for the in the test settings I can set really which environment I would like to run the test plan, right?
That's
so this
correct.
Is how we link it up, if it's a virtual one or if it's exactly the one here, a physical one, right?
That's right, that's
yeah.
right. Yeah, you can run this on a physical or virtual
machine.
Environment.
Yeah,
running on a virtual machine environment is sometimes a little bit easier because
yeah.
it's easier to actually set up the environment
right.
and roll it back to some known state for next night's build. There is a bit of investment getting lab management set up, but the dividend is so high.
Right.
If you think about solving this problem in the real world
right.
today,
yeah,
it's a lot of pain. And so
it's a lot of scripts you have to write if you want to automate it to a specific intent, and then you don't get everything done. So people who are frequently testing on their builds,
mm-hmm.
it's really the invest is worth it.
Absolutely.
So we're using the virtual environment is based on Hyper-V, right?
That's right. Hyper-V,
so, yeah.
Hyper-V at the lowest level.
Yeah.
System Center Virtual Machine Manager
right.
running on top of that.
Right.
In the future, we will also support VMware ESX. So
okay,
we
yeah.
won't support that when we launch the product, but that's something that the team will be working
right.
on right after that.
This is cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think we got a good overview, right? A brief overview
yeah.
over that what's happening, and it's a lot of new things and a real bunch of value for testing.
I think so. I'm really excited. Yeah.
So let us know what you think about it, if it's the right thing to do, and we will be happy to feedback.
Absolutely.
Your feedback to the product group
absolutely.
And let them know if it's the right thing they build on.
That's right.
Thanks.
Thank you.